You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. Feel like we put in a full day already. Your phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. We'll get you ready for the winner take all game tonight in San Francisco. Dodgers and the Giants. And we'll talk to Ron Darling. Ron will be on the call with this game coming up tonight. Make sure you check out the DP Show store, the latest Justin Herbert-inspired t-shirt for Charger fans, and it's called Football is Fun. That's according to Justin Herbert, who says he's having fun as a 23-year-old. Football is fun. Go to danpatrick.com. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. A little bit of irony with the winner-take-all baseball games, because we complain all the time. Season's too long, games are too long, regular season's an eternity. Then it comes down to the late innings of a series-deciding game, and we don't want it to end. It ends too quickly. Tonight, Dodgers-Giants in San Francisco. And Vegas has it as a pick'em right now. The games usually come down to the smallest things. You know, like the other night, the wind. There should have been a couple of home runs by the Dodgers, including Gavin Lux. Looks like he had a game-tying home run. The wind knocked it down. Is it going to be a reliever who can't handle the pressure? Is it going to be a pinch hitter? You know, the Giants, they beat the Dodgers in the shot heard around the world with Bobby Thompson. That was, what, 70 years ago, McLovin? Does that sound
right? 51. So that was 70 years ago.
70 years ago. You never know. Tonight's the kind of game that generates moments that we're going to remember forever. But we'll talk to Ron Darling coming up in a little bit. Poll question, McLovin.
Okay, the first 2 hours was, what's the best game seven? And hockey beats MLB and NBA. How about throw you out there, if you're not a local market, if you're not LA or San Francisco or Tampa Bay or Philly, which would you watch tonight? Game five of baseball or the football game? The thing is, usually football games get big ratings, you know, so that might win.
Yeah, because it's more territorial. I don't know Dodgers Giants going to play nationally, but
you'd think that matchup would play a bit nationally, wouldn't it?
The Giants don't. I mean, the Dodgers, I guess, would, but the fact that it's winner take all, then, you know, there's more attached to it. But I would think that the NFL. You know, trumps everybody.
And Tom Brady.
Yeah, and Brady against the Eagles. Is this the first time Brady has faced the Eagles since he lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl?
I actually looked it up. The Pats played the Eagles in 2019, and it was a 17-10 game. Brady didn't take revenge on them, which kind of makes me nervous that he's going to do it tonight.
But I don't know how he would take revenge, considering that he threw for 500 yards. The Patriots didn't punt in the Super Bowl. He did everything. You would think the defense would have tried to.
He did drop that pass.
He did. I don't. Was that a great pass?
No, but it was funny that Nick Foles caught a pass. And
I know. I know. I think all of us unathletic guys had our hopes resting on Tom Brady catching that pass in the Super Bowl. And then you go, oh, God, Tom, come on. And then you got Nick Foles who catches the touchdown pass. Yeah, McLovin.
No Gronk tonight. Is that an opening for the Eagles?
I don't know. It's home dog. And when I used to gamble home dog Monday night, I'd always take the home dog. Thursday night's a little trickier getting ready for another team. You know, Philadelphia doesn't have the same kind of talent as Tampa does, but it is Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, can you make some plays here? Can you make Tom Brady uncomfortable? How's that injured thumb just coming off throwing 5 touchdown passes? By the way, the Raiders got it out of the way. They met with the media yesterday just to say, all right, we answer these questions about John Gruden and we're moving on. Derek Carr had this to say about moving forward.
From an emotional standpoint, I got a job to do, and that's never changed. No matter who the coach is, no matter who's on the team with me, I have a job to do, and that's to lead these men, especially now. They need a leader more than ever, and my job is to lead them with my actions like I always have.
He also said if we start opening up everybody's private emails and text, people would start sweating a little bit. Hopefully not too many, but maybe that's what they should do for all the coaches and GMs and owners from now on is open up. That's what he said on Wednesday. You've got to open up everything, see what happens. Well, no, they're called private emails. Now, the fact that John Gruden was sending something from a private email, But it went to a public email because it was Bruce Allen with the Washington football team. It was his workplace email. That's how it came to light. But that's John's private email. If you have a private email or private tech, no, it shouldn't be open to everybody. I mean, we can't even get what should be open to us with the Washington football team. That's what I want to know. Hey, we're not allowed to tell you, you know, what we found. Okay. But somebody found something that they were comfortable enough leaking, and apparently the league office is comfortable enough that maybe they're not going to investigate this. That's not total transparency. Like, you want Washington to have total transparency. And if they've turned over these documents, did an in-house investigation, then shouldn't the NFL have total transparency about the investigation? I'm just curious. That's all. All righty. So what's poll question for you?
I have a left-turn poll question. Okay. It's from our buddy Daniel Jeremiah at the NFL Network.
Okay.
Think about this. Right. Would you trade a first-round pick in next year's draft, say bottom half of the first round, for Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker? Remember how many games were lost on kicking last week?
Yeah, but is it a top 10 pick? Is it a top
15? I'll say 15 to 30.
Would I give up? He's 31. He's going to kick for another probably 7-8 years, maybe a little longer. If I knew that I didn't have complete confidence in my field goal kicker, complete confidence, then yeah, I would do. If I'm a playoff caliber team, then yeah, because he's an incredible weapon. I may not need him, you know, for the first 3.5 hours of a Sunday game, but then I'm going to need him. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, Paul.
It might be an easier one to answer if you said, if you were the Ravens or you were offered the 25th pick of the draft for Justin Tucker, would you take it? And the answer is a hard no, right?
No, they wouldn't. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, this went a little viral yesterday. A lot of like football guys were like, oh, of course you would never trade a first round pick for a kicker. Like, you know, the old school football guys.
I don't know. This is a sure thing. At that position, there are a lot of good kickers, but that's a weapon. Like, that's a different weapon than you have. Yeah. Yeah. So many games come down to that you did or you didn't at that position. As much time as we spend on quarterbacks, sometimes it comes down to these kickers. And we saw that last week. It was certainly on display. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley might have added a little drama in Norman, Oklahoma yesterday. He banned the media from practice. And he was upset that you had some student reporters who watched the practice from a nearby building. And then they shared the information that the freshman Caleb Williams is getting more reps as the first team quarterback. And Williams famously came in for Spencer Rattler in last week's win over Texas. Williams clearly played better on Saturday. And you just wonder about Spencer Rattler. Now, we've seen this before. Jalen Hurts lost his job to Tua. Joe Burrow couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. Justin Fields couldn't beat out Jake Fromm at Georgia. Russell Wilson lost his job at NC State. Tom Brady shared duties with Drew Henson at Michigan. They ended up okay. The list goes on, but Spencer Rattler has struggled, and it might be interesting to see what Lincoln Riley does next and how it's going to impact two highly thought of quarterbacks. And I wonder if Spencer Rattler all of a sudden just says, portal, hello, here I come. Yeah, pulling.
So according to the story, Lincoln Riley was upset with the two student newspaper reporters because they were watching the offensive practice from a public building near the OU practice field where they could see it from that.
Yeah.
According to the school paper, they don't usually send reporters to practice. It's not commonplace. But because of the heightened interest in the quarterback situation, they decided to do it. They went to this area, which is on campus, completely legal to be in, and they were not discouraged by the football officials that saw them there. They didn't get upset until what was reported in the paper because they basically counted the number of snaps each quarterback got, how many reps, and reported it. Mm. And they got very mad about how the reporters did it. That's just good reporting.
I agree. Yeah, McLovin.
Last year, I guess Lincoln Riley had all these windows in these dorm rooms fogged out because they were too near campus. So he put things like, he's pretty paranoid about this. So it's a combination of things here.
Oh,
I had a question, by the way. Is Oklahoma, like, is that the number one place you'd want to play quarterback? Because they have the two number one recruits there.
I'd still say Arch Manning is not considering Oklahoma. Right?
I don't think he's on the list. No, you gave us three schools, right? I don't think that was one of them.
No, the top three that I heard, Alabama, Clemson, and Texas for Arch Manning. But it feels like if you've lost your job, that's where you go. Like, that would be a place where Spencer Rattler would go if he lost his job someplace. But Caleb Williams looked better, and Spencer Rattler got benched last year. There's so much hype around him. Watch the games. That's what I always tell people. They're like, that Spencer Rattler saw the highlights. Watch the game. Just see how, you know, consistent he is. But, you know, Russell Wilson lost his job to Mike Glennon at NC State. Remember Kelly Bryant at Clemson? He lost his job. Trevor Lawrence went to Missouri. I mean, it happens. And now you have options if you're a quarterback. You can go, okay, this doesn't look good. See ya. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, Joe Burrow lost his job. All the good guys now. Justin Fields lost his job.
Yeah.
Or didn't get the job. So what's going on in college? How are these guys not winning these jobs?
But it feels like it doesn't take that much for a school to go, maybe we need to move on from you. Or I'm also curious about name, image, and likeness. Because let's say you sign up Spencer Rattler for something really big in Oklahoma or a quarterback elsewhere, and you're going to pay him $1 million for, you know, endorsing something. And then he loses his job. You still got to pay him, even though he's not the starting quarterback for a university. Yeah, Paul.
With a name like Spencer Rattler, how did he not stay in Arizona? He's from Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
ASU, Arizona, transferred?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, I guess. All right, some phone calls here, then we'll take a break. Ron Darling will join us. We'll set the scene for tonight. These two pitchers haven't lost. I don't know. I saw a stat here, crazy stat, that let me see if I can bring this up. That these two pitchers tonight, Urias and Webb, let me see if I can get this here. They haven't lost. Let's see. It's been 39 consecutive starts for Urias and Logan Webb have not lost a game in a combined 39 consecutive starts. Ah, boy, that's awesome. Now, they aren't, you know, they don't have the name recognition that you normally want in a winner take all, but to have that sort of precedence going into a game, those stats behind you, that consistency, I mean, that's what you want. I just don't know if either one goes more than five innings, the way baseball is managed nowadays. Let's get to Jane in Indiana. Hi, Jane. What's on your mind today?
I had to not talk for 3 weeks, doctor's orders. And this was way back before handheld devices. So what I had to do, because I use my voice a lot at work, which is why I lost it, I carried around one of those kids' magic slates, which I had to explain to Marvin, so maybe you will need to explain to most of the listeners what it was.
All right. I think the etcher sketch is what they used to use, right? Is that right? Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Yeah, we were mentioning Joe Burrow lost his voice, or he's been told not to talk this week to get ready for the game against the Lions. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, those little slates they have back then, you could hang it around your neck, and you had a little like a marker, like a... And it just went zip. You could write stuff on it and then zip and roll it off.
Yes, Todd.
You had to walk very gingerly with the Etch-A-Sketch. If you're using that as your main source of communication, as soon as you have any kind of motion of moving with that, it thinks you're trying to erase it and it all goes away. So you got to be really fragile with it.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't that because it's tough to write on the Etch-A-Sketch.
Those little knobs.
Yes. Yeah. I was never big on an Etch-A-Sketch.
Slinky?
I like the Slinky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was okay with that. Not a hula hoop guy.
Etch-A-Sketch just ended up endlessly drawing stairs.
Yes.
Up, over, up, over, up, over, up, over, up, over, down, over, down, over, down, over, down. Okay, shake it, get rid of it.
Yes, McLovin.
Did you guys have a thing where you drop paint into a spinning piece of paper and it made a cool design? Maybe that's you might have missed
it. It wasn't a spiro gyro.
Yes.
Is that what it was? Spiro gyro or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Did you play with like the play tiles and light brights? Those like different
light bright.
Light bright was fun. Good times.
This has to be your wheelhouse, dude. Because you
don't mean to rattle off 50 types of candy and games and puzzles in a can and a jigsaw.
I mean, I was outside, you know.
It is. You were probably chasing
women back then.
I was like sitting in my room playing with
puzzles. You were playing Battleship. He sunk my battleship.
Stay alive.
Yes, Paulie.
Also, back then, your parents would get you toys that you shouldn't play with. They were more dangerous. I asked my dad once when I was eight for a chemistry set, like a home chemistry set. And like it had Bunsen burners and that stuff. And I remember looking at the sign. It said, a warning, 12 or over. And he just, here you go, son.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Yeah. I remember my brother got a BB gun and the first target was me. Sunday morning, getting ready to go to church. He said, stand out there by the tree. And I stood out there by the tree in our front yard, and he shot me right in the thigh. Shot you? Shot you a dirty look?
Oh,
thank you, Todd. No, my brother shot me in the leg. And he got to keep the gun, too. I even said to my mom, he shot me. Well, you probably deserved it. What did I do to deserve getting shot? All right, let me take a break. Ron Darling will join us. We'll get you ready for tonight's Game 5, Dodgers-Giants, right after this. Oh, it's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. And even more amazing is all the places where Discover's accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And that's good because that means whenever you use that Discover credit card, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Dodgers pitcher Julio Urias and Logan Webb have not lost a game in a combined 39 consecutive starts. Looks like one will have to budge coming up tonight. Winner take all. We'll talk to Ron Darling, part of the TBS baseball crew. He'll join us coming up. RJ in Colorado joins us. Hi, RJ. What's on your mind?
Dan, awesome to chat with you again. Danettes, what's going on? Just wanted to call in and first off, stick up for my boy Marvin, that Chase dude asking questions and riling him up. Never do that. Marvin's a good dude right there. But my question here is for Jimmy Jimerson, if he has a chance to respond to something that's been going in the news.
All right.
Jimmy, I was wondering if you can shine a little perspective on the two quarterbacks battling that once played for Oklahoma, and who, in fact, do you think the Oklahoma fans are going to be cheering for in this NFL game?
Okay. Jimmy, would you like to answer that?
Well, that's what Lincoln Riley's trying to figure out right now, okay? He's got the option of two quarterbacks right now. Obviously, Spencer Rattler was the name coming in, okay? He was QB1 coming into this season. However, he hasn't performed up to the level. So right now, Sooners fans asking themselves a lot of questions. Who is going to start this weekend? Only time will tell. Back
right.
to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, RJ. And once again, Jimmy Jimerson. Not based off any particular analyst, but a collection of analysts. Yes, Eden.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
The two Oklahoma
It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
You could use the same answer.
Yeah.
It's so generic.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Yeah.
Well, that's what the NFL is looking at this weekend. A fun matchup.
Yeah, Paul.
It's in my head so much. I was watching a show this morning and everybody says, you know what? That's what everybody wants to know, which side it's going to go to. I'm like, you didn't tell us anything. You're the expert.
I could see it going either way. I could.
Yeah. That's why, like, you know, the Derek Carr sound from yesterday was really nice. And he's really being, like, praised for how great it was.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, love the man, hate the sinner, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of said both sides, like, conflicting statements at every turn. Where he'd be like, well, you know, obviously privacy is really important, but you got to release those emails so everybody knows what's happening. So he's a good guy, but, you know, he's kind of a bad guy. So, you know, he kind of whined his way. Oh, the guys need a leader right now, but, you know, everybody wants to lead themselves.
I still go back to whenever I would interview Derek Jeter, you'd always come away going, man, He was very, very good interview. And then you'd listen to what he said, and you'd realize he didn't say anything. He was a master at not saying anything, but looking like he was saying something. Yeah, Paul.
Also, Jeter's move was, let's say you had a one-on-one interview with him, he would look you dead in the eye. Mm. He would call you Dan. Mm. He'd make you feel like, wow, this guy's giving me a lot of attention here, whilst saying nothing.
Yeah, you'd be like, all right. And thank you, Derek. Thank you for your time. And all of a sudden you turn to your producer and go, how was that, producer? Go, he didn't say anything.
But it was Derek Jeter. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
But he looked great saying it, right? Yeah, Paul.
I told this before. We were at the Rose Bowl, and it was Tom Brady was probably two Super Bowls in, and he was on, it was Michigan, Nebraska, Rose Bowl. And we were on the sidelines, and they told me, go over to Tom Brady, see if he'll do an interview with ESPN radio at halftime. I'm like, all right. And I was kind of intimidated, but I'm like, oh, no big deal. I looked up to Tom. I go, Tom, ESPN Radio, we're doing a halftime show. Could we get two questions with you? He put his hand on my shoulder, looked me dead in the eye. He goes, hey, man, I'm just here to see some old friends and watch the game, but thanks a lot for asking. And I turned around, I'm like, man, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was super. My boss goes, what did Brady say? He goes, oh, he said no way in hell. Yeah. No way he's not doing the interview, yeah. But he's so nice.
Didn't he have the wallet?
Chain wallet.
Chain wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had.
And I wanted one after that.
We all went shopping.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's get chain wallets.
Well, I never had one to begin with, but I wanted one after that. I was like, all
do you
right.
have to be tough to have one, or does it make you look tough to have
I think
one?
You got to be young and hip.
I think it looks like someone who's just conscious of security for their wallet.
I don't like a wallet to begin with.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to add a chain back there. And McLovin, don't you do front wallet?
Yeah, don't you guys all do front wallet?
No.
But you get pickpocketed in the subway.
Yeah, New Yorkers do front wallet. Chris Berman does front wallet.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, most people don't keep change in their pocket. Chris Berman always, he and Howie Schwab, Stump the Schwab, always had change in their pockets. You could hear him coming down the hall and be like, it's Boomer.
And Howie had sweatpants. It was flying all around. That guy had the biggest hall pass. Remember, nobody at ESPN was allowed to wear sweatpants to work
or jerseys.
Team jerseys. That was an actual written rule. And he would walk around wearing like a Vinny Testaverde jersey and sweats.
Yeah, Stump the Schwab. He was on scholarship there for a long, long time. All right, while we wait for Ron Darling, McLovin, are we going to stay with the poll question for the final hour?
We still have up the best game seven. I don't want to do the Justin Tucker one, but we had some interesting tweets. Everyone wants Tucker instead of a first rounder, Daniel Jeremiah's question. The last poll question that I did not pitch yet. Okay, what is the best quarterback room in recent memory? I'll give you three choices. Okay, you could get Oklahoma with this current Caleb Williams and our man Spencer Rattler. You could have Ohio State with Joe Burrow, Dwayne Haskins, JT Barrett.
Yeah.
I'll give you Kyler Murray and Kyle Allen together at Texas A&M, Tim Tebow and Cam Newton together at Florida. Or let's see, that's the five I have. Is there a quarterback room that stands out as just ridiculous to you?
Well, I think Cam Newton and Tim Tebow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but the fact that Cam never even got on the field.
I know. Yeah, Paul.
Didn't Ohio State have a run? I'm not taking their pro careers, but like Cardale Jones, JT Barrett, Terrell Pryor, aren't they all on the same roster?
Yeah, it felt like they had three or four.
Braxton Miller.
Yeah. I mean, they some high-end college quarterbacks.
I'm curious, why do these quarterbacks go where there already is a quarterback?
Well, you know, Trevor Lawrence wasn't afraid of Kelly Bryant. Like, these guys, I think they're all brought up that you're a five-star recruit, and hey, we can compete again. I'm better than that guy. Joe Burrow, thinking he's going to win that starting job with Dwayne Haskins. I just think you have to have that supreme confidence that you're going to, hey, I'm going to get my chance, and once I do.
And Joe Burrow's an Ohio guy, right?
Yeah.
Is that how he landed there?
Yeah, yeah. Is Ron with us there, Paulie?
Yes.
All right. Let me make the official introduction. Ron Darling, a baseball analyst for TBS. He'll be joining Brian Anderson for the call tonight's Win or Go Home National League Divisional Series between the Giants and the Dodgers. That starts at 9 Eastern on TBS. Ron, good to talk to you this morning. Introduce us to the Giants.
Oh, boy. What a team. You know, just a magical kind of year for them, whether it's They're older players that have performed above what you thought they could do. What are the players that they've acquired that you didn't think would be great to have been? And then their stuff off the bench, best pinch hitting team. Just a really, honestly, every time they needed something to happen, it happened for them. And that seems to bode well for Game 5.
But you also, and I don't know if you believe in this, when you have that lineup that doesn't have the true star, it feels like they probably think, hey, one of us has to step up tonight, not just rely on, hey, Mookie Betts has to stay, you know, stand up there. That it almost feels like it's more dangerous with that lineup that feels like one of us has to take ownership tonight.
You know, Dan, that's a really good point. I think that they have spent the entire year with people saying that at some point they will decline, they will not play well, they'll be out of it, the Dodgers will overtake them. And each and every time they have stepped up, and I think they've done that probably better than any team as far as maximizing their 30 or 40 man roster. Everyone that came up, when you think about it, their closer right now is a kid that was up and down four times, that didn't perform well until September, and now he might be the difference maker if they move ahead.
Explain these two pitchers, because I looked and I don't think they've lost in, it's been a long time, but you know, between these two, like 39 starts. Does that sound accurate for these two going into this game?
It does. In fact, if you look at Webb, he hasn't lost since May 5th. If you look at Urias, he has, in his last 23 starts with the Dodgers, they're 19-3. So when they take the mound, the home team wins. So it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, the one, I guess, advantage maybe is that Urias has been there so many times. At 25 years old, he's got 7 postseason wins, which is remarkable. Wow. But this Logan Webb kid has just had, like the Giants, an amazing magical year. Everything has gone his way. So, you know, skeptics are always wondering when it's going to end. But those people that are think of great magical endings are thinking that's always going to go on. So who knows?
Do the Giants have a lineup, though, that you would think it was not built for that ballpark? But they're home run hitters. Everybody in the lineup can hit home runs. Are we getting to the point where it doesn't matter what ballpark teams are playing in?
That's the better point, Dan. It doesn't matter where you play now. If you've got guys who have power, defenses really are irrelevant. Although, in San Francisco, they've moved defenses in 10 feet or less in 3 or 4 different areas in that ballpark. And in center field, it's 391 feet. And I remember when I was a kid playing in the Cape Cod League, Dennis Yarmouth's center field was like 385. We thought that was the most ridiculous center field of all time. So think about these big leaguers with the big muscles trying to hit the ball 391. That really is a difference maker.
But I go back to, I think Cleveland had a center field of 454, like many, many, many years ago. Like, that's crazy to have a center field that deep. And, Fenway's not deep. That's not even 400.
Yeah, Cleveland, I remember Forbes Field in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They used to use the batting cage with the guys hit on before the game. They used to just park it in center field because they figured that no one could hit the ball out of the ballpark there. So, you know, there was some Yankee Stadium, of course, all of the monuments were in play at some point. So certainly the game and the ballparks have changed.
Circle two guys tonight, one for each team, where you say, you know, this is the guy that's the key for the Giants. This is the guy, the key for the Dodgers.
Okay, for the Giants, I'm not going to say a guy, but I do think because of their pinch hitting numbers, they have 18 home runs from pinch hitters. They've had some magical times. Late night Lamont Wade Jr. you get that nickname because you're great late in the game. I think he might do something for the Giants. And I think when I look at the Dodger team with all their stars, the guy that has been the best from the seventh inning on and later, to include the postseason, who has 8 home runs to tie the game or put them ahead, is their catcher, Will Smith. Those are the two guys I would look at tonight.
We talk about the playoff format. Sometimes we look at the end results and then we're like, oh, you got to reseed. You know, everybody's angry now. The one-game playoff, it's the, you know, that should the Dodgers be in a one-game playoff? My thought is, how about we say this before we start the season? Not when, because if you had some teams that weren't nationally known, nobody would be screaming about this. But you put the Dodgers or Yankees in a situation like this, then we want change. Could you see baseball reseeding? Or could you see it more than a one-game playoff again?
Yeah, I think I can't see them. Well, I think the reseeding thing makes more sense in this way. I would see someday that baseball will have no divisions. That it will be the National League and the American League. And in this scenario, you'd have the Dodgers and the Giants would have the best record. You'll probably maybe include six teams instead of the five teams we have now. So six teams in each league. Two series of three games between three and four and five and six, and then the teams that had the best records in the game would play those teams after that. So they're assured at least of getting into the division series.
Hmm. John Smoltz said, how about if you have that one-game playoff, that the team that has the fewer wins has to beat that team twice, while the team that has the more wins, they only have to win one game.
I like that, too. I mean, John thinks about these things all the time, and he has some really great ideas. The only problem you have is that if you beat a team twice, you have to beat a team twice, it puts you into a pitching situation where you might not be competitive the rest of the next division series. So I wouldn't want to put a team in a place where they use their number one, they use their number two, they have to fight to use their entire bullpen and get to the first game, and they have to do a bullpen game, or you have someone from shortstop pitching. So I would never want to see that.
Do you still hold a grudge with anybody you played against?
Do I ever hold a grudge against anyone I played against? No, I think the longer you live on this planet after you're a professional athlete, the only grudge you hold is against yourself. When you think about, I think I was at Dodger Stadium 2 days ago, and they were celebrating the 1988 team. And as I was talking to Jaime Harin, their radio announcer for the last 63 years, he said, "You know, Ron, it's the anniversary of the 1988 Dodgers." I said, "Jaime, I only lasted an inning in the seventh game, so it's not a celebration for me." So I kind of hold a grudge against myself, you know. So it was pretty funny.
I couldn't help but watch the documentary on your Mets back in the mid 80s.
What'd you think?
Well, I loved it, but I was there around that. I worked at CNN in New York, so I was around you guys, you goofballs. But I started to wonder, we've had these one-and-done teams that were so good, but they only won once. If you were going to put your finger on why that Mets team only won once, what would it be?
Well, I think that's a great point. I think that maybe maturity might be one of them. But honestly, that team felt like a Oakland A's team. It felt like a Cincinnati Reds team. But we're destined to always live with not a team of destiny, but a team that had an amazing year. But I think that we could have been a little more mature with how we approached the longevity of what we were trying to do. How about that?
Finish this sentence. If Dwight Gooden had stayed clean,
I would have been able to go to Cooperstown and listen to him give a great speech.
Yeah. You know, Ronnie, I paid to go see a game, and I think it was like May. It was in May, and it was Dennis Martinez and the Expos at Shea against Doc. And I paid for seats behind home plate because I wanted to watch. This is 84 maybe. I wanted to hear that fastball. And I wanted to watch that curveball. Like I was that fascinated. And I could have gotten probably, press credentials. I wanted to sit behind home plate. And oh, my God. El Presidente was awesome. I mean, I loved Dennis Martinez. But Doc Gooden was just, that was different. That was different.
You know, El Presidente, once I got traded to the Expos, I was only there for about a week or so before I moved on to the A's. He threw a perfect game in Los Angeles while I was there. So I got to see in the uniform a perfect game. And boy, what a pitcher with capital P-I-T-C-H-E-R he was. But as far as Doc was concerned, you know, I lived in the city for my entire career with the Mets. And he was the only athlete that I had ever played with, heard about, went to see, that the whole city would be buzzing if he pitched on a Friday night. I mean, the entire city. You would go to lunch, people would ask you about him. You would walk down the street, tell Doc hello. It was that kind of phenomenon. And I think we have, I don't know, like as a society, we love when teenagers can beat old men. It's one of the coolest things, I think, and that's what Doc had working.
But did you think, if you were banking on Hall of Fame, you saw Strawberry and you saw Gooden? Who would you have bet on if they were stocks? Which one would you have bought?
I would have bought both, because I thought, if you asked me then, I would have said it. No, I wouldn't have said it then, but I say it now. They were Bonds and Clemens, and that's the kind of career arc they were on. Yeah. And ironically, Bonds and Clemens aren't in the Hall of Fame either. So, but that's the kind of career that those two were supposed to have. You know, 600 home runs, 300 wins, 4,000 strikeouts, 2,000 RBIs. That's where they were going. And you know, it's a shame, but also I love those two guys. So I'm happy that they're in a good place right now.
I'm happy they're still alive, Ron.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're alive.
Yeah.
Doc's alive. I mean, that.
Doc's alive. Daryl is thriving. You know, as a preacher and trying to talk to people about some of the mistakes he's made. You know, they're trying really hard to do great with their lives. What better thing than that, you know?
Great to talk to you. Have fun tonight. And thanks for joining us as always, Ron.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Bye.
That's Ronnie Darling. Baseball on TBS analyst. He'll be with Brian Anderson on the call. That's on TBS at 9 Eastern. Yeah, I was around. Not that Ron Darling would remember me being around those teams, but I was usually there for the big moments with them. Did a lot of stories on, well, all of them. I mean, you think about it. Gary Carter was a story. Doc Gooden was a story. Daryl Strawberry was. Keith Hernandez was. Keith was tough to get. But he was one of the sharper minds when you talked baseball. And then you'd have Lenny Dykstra, where you just never knew. I mean, he's a mess. But I love his nickname, Nails. I mean, he'd have like tobacco just dripping out of his. He was just a mess. He was like Pigpen in Peanuts. That was him.
Great poster era.
Oh man,
those Mets.
Yeah. He had those forearms. I don't know what they were filled with, but he had Popeye forearms, man. All right, take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew, Mercedes-Benz Vans, build-equipped, engineered. To be ready for anything, go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. The podcast I do called That Scene, where we look at scenes from famous movies or TV shows. I'm joined by Amy Ryan. She was on The Office. She was Michael's wife, got engaged to him in the famous ceremony there. We spent some time talking about that scene. Also, Oscar-nominated role in the film Gone Baby Gone, and we discussed her latest part. She's in the Hulu series Only Murders in the Building. Here's a clip. What did you think when you read sexy Scrabble scene?
I love that scene.
Because you don't know, and then you know, and then you're like, oh, God.
Oh, I loved the props department, too, like constantly resetting the tiles. That was impressive. They were quite fast.
Were there any words that you did want to spell that you didn't?
No, they covered them all.
So that's Amy Ryan and the show Only Murders in the Building, Steve Martin and Martin Short. But we spend some time talking about her role as Holly in The Office as Michael Scott's fiance. She gave a little a small spoiler for Only Murders in the Building, but you have to listen to the full interview and catch that one. You can go to Amazon.com/thatscene to hear the rest of the podcast. All right, last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and this day in sports history. Let's start there, Paulie. This day in sports history, Brady Quinn, back by popular demand on the program. It's Beefcake Friday with Brady Quinn. He'll be joining us tomorrow.
Segway, 1990, Joe Montana passed for 476 yards and 6 touchdowns in a game. 5 touchdowns were thrown to Jerry Rice. Who saw that coming? And it is a good one. It turned out okay. 2000, Neil Perry had his right leg severely broken while playing on kickoff coverage for a game at UTEP. Remember that one? 9 days later, his leg was amputated after surgery. 3 years later, he returned to play football on one play with a prosthetic leg. Neil Perry.
You left out one, Paul.
Walter Payton related? Rush?
Nope.
Oh.
Steve Bartman deflects the ball away from Moises Alou. Marlins win the game 8-3, going to win the National League Championship Series in 7 games.
No mention of Alex Gonzalez booting the ball one play.
No, yeah, Alex Gonzalez got a hall pass.
He got paid to grab ground balls and throw them to first.
Yeah.
Bartman did nothing wrong.
Wayne Gretzky scored his first NHL goal. Let's see if there's anything else in here. Upset over seating arrangements at the World Series, sports reporters form a professional group that will later become the Baseball Writers Association of America, 1908. Yes, McLevin.
When Gretzky scored that first goal, do you think he said to himself, you know, I bet I got 893 more of these in my...
Well, when you watched him play, you're thinking, like, somebody it was bring your son to, to the arena at night. He was just so slight and so small. And you thought he's going to get killed, but they never got him. Yeah, Paulie.
You mentioned that Gretzky might get passed by Ovechkin for the all-time goal scorer.
Yeah.
Gretzky is the all-time goal scorer. He's also the all-time assist leader by 700 assists.
I know.
The second place is 700 assists behind him. He's got 1,800.
That's what's amazing.
Yeah.
That you can look at the goals and say, that's incredible what he did. But then to be... So imagine if John Stockton had 39,000 points to go along with 15,000 assists. That's Gretzky.
It's kind of LeBron almost.
It is. LeBron's not going to catch John Stockton. But he's probably going to be the all-time leading scorer. Oh, man. We're done. That's it. No more calls, no more nothing. All right. Well, that's why we have tomorrow. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz GLE. Learn more at mbusa.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for the emails, tweets, phone calls, all-around support. We appreciate it. Do it again tomorrow. For Seton, Paulie, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly, this has been the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out this Thursday show, Simply Safe Home Security. Got a chance to see that wireless outdoor security camera. Game changer. Simply Safe, the system that U.S. News and World Report names best home security system of 2021. And it just got better. Brand new outdoor security camera engineered with all the advanced tech that you would expect out of Simply Safe. Ultra wide 140 degree field of view. You can keep an eye out on everything going on in your yard. Plus, there's a color night vision. Keep an eye on what's going on day and night. Super simple to set up, usually takes minutes, and well, that's why it's called simple. But it is safe, great people here, easy to remove, rechargeable battery, doesn't need an outlet and go anywhere on your property. Learn more about the exciting new SimpliSafe wireless outdoor security camera. Visit SimpliSafeDan.com. SimpliSafe celebrating this new camera by offering 20% off the entire new system order in your first month of monitoring service free when you enroll in interactive monitoring. Again, that's SimpliSafeDan.com.